Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. The title of the sermon is, He is not here, for He is risen. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study. They have departed from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to His disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Greetings. And they came, and they took hold of His feet, and they worshiped Him. So He tells them very quickly to go and tell. Go and tell, and that's our responsibility. And what I love is the obedience of Mary. She goes and tells them. In Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 11, she goes and she tells them. Unfortunately, they don't believe her. She's seen like, hey, Jesus is alive. They don't believe Him. And there are going to be people that you will go and tell. We just read about all those eyewitnesses who saw Jesus. And there'll be people that you will go and tell, and they don't want to hear it. It's okay. If you don't want to hear the gospel, it's fine. Don't beat them over the head with the Bible. How many of y'all have had, show of hands, have had somebody just relentlessly beat you over the head with the Bible? If it's your wife, don't raise your hand. If the husband, right? I've had that happen. I've had that happen during the Gulf War. I had some guy, man, we were about ready to hang that guy. I was like, from the time we woke up to the time we went to bed, we were all going to hell. And we needed Jesus. But it wasn't done in love. Now, I know He cared about my eternity, but we need to be very careful. You go and tell, and guess what? If they say, man, I don't want to hear nothing about it, God bless you, bro. And you move on. It's not time. The soil still needs to be softened. Some of you have family members that you're praying for, that you're hoping that God will show up. You know what you pray? God show up in a way that's so real that they cannot deny you. You pray that. And guess what? He's going to show up and say, hey, you need to choose, because they're going to come and talk to you. You need to choose and follow Jesus. Stop running from Him. But He says to go and tell. And what is the message that we are supposed to say? That He is risen, right? He is risen. And they had great joy, but they had what? Fear. They had a reverence of God. And they ran to go tell the disciples. Can you imagine how happy she was to go, and then they don't believe her? That's how we are when we first come to faith. We're so on fire for God, and we tell everybody. And sometimes people don't want to listen. But are you still on fire for God in that capacity where you still want to tell people about Jesus? Or have you surrounded yourself by a bunch of Christians, and you don't never have to talk about Jesus in that way? See, this is the problem with the American church today. We want to stay within the walls of the church and not go outside the church and share the gospel. So what is the result of the resurrection? A couple things. There are two questions that are asked and that I really were looking at is, who do you say that I am? You need to be able to define who Christ is in your life. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that He was resurrected, that He has risen? That's the other question that is posed to Martha. In John 11, verses 23 through 27, Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again, talking about Lazarus. And Martha said to Him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he live. yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, one of the biggest results that we have of the resurrection is we have access to God. Our sins are forgiven. You're no longer separated from a holy God. Your debt of sin cannot be paid. It can only be paid by what the work that was done on the cross by Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the blood that was spilled for you and for me. That's when that veil was torn. We read about that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. It says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split." It's torn from top to bottom because religion is from bottom to top, man to God. God tears it from top to bottom. He's like, you have access to me. You can't pay your debt of sin in your works. You can't come and serve at church and, oh, I'm doing all this stuff and I've never chosen to follow Jesus Christ and give my heart over to him and repent. It's just, you're just here then. Many people will show up on Easter, and what they'll do is they'll just show up on Easter. Got to make mom happy. Grandma told me she wanted me to come to church. I come to church. And then we don't see you again until Christmas, maybe. I get it. I was the same way. Guilty as charged. I even complained about going on Easter. How many of y'all had those arguments just getting in the car here this morning? I did. I did all of that before Christ. Okay, so I'm not going to sit up here and act as a pastor that God has that all together. I didn't. I didn't come to faith till I was 39 years old. And the Lord smacked me in the head, brought me to my knees. And the only thing I could do is look up and look to him. Because Michael, who solved the problems of Michael, could no longer solve the problems of his marriage. And I had 5 kids. And I did not want them to go through the same thing that I went through at 5 years old in a divorce. Divorce rips apart a family in a way that's... And it doesn't matter. You go, well, we're just going to stay together till we're 18. The kids are all grown up. It still affects the kids. You still have to meet for birthday parties and Christmases. And you have these two people that hate each other. And you're like, it's so uncomfortable. And that's how I grew up. And I was like, I had my 5 kids, and my youngest one was 5 years old. And I was like, we can't do this. Lord, I need you. Just like that song said. And we have access to God. You know what? I didn't say the prayer at church. I just remember what Pastor Joe said. You need to confess your sins. You need to ask Christ into your heart. You need to believe in him. And I did that at 3:00 in the morning while my son was asleep, because my wife was smart. She left me with all 5 kids. She went and stayed with her sister because she knew I would have bolted and off. I would have been off to the races and never looked back. But God had a different plan. That's why when he says in that verse in John 19:30, truly as Jesus declared, it is finished. You have access to God. Your sins can be forgiven. Death has been defeated. Sin is... Your debt of sin can be paid. And it's only one sin and you're guilty. One. You probably did that this week. You can't pay that on your own. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." The other thing that we have through the resurrection is Jesus hasn't left us alone. One of the results that we have is he's left us with the Helper. You can't walk this life without the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verses 18 through 19, it says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you also will live." We need the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "In the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you." You cannot walk this walk of faith without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had made sure the moment that you give yourself to Christ, you go through the beauty of justification as just as if you did not sin. into sanctification, where the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of you. And God has a plan to use you the rest of your life. It's not so you say the prayer, I got my ticket to heaven, I'm good, I'm going to go back to the bar. That's not what he's doing. He's planning on making you a new creation in Christ. And the only way that happens is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's through spending time with him in the relationship. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. That's why he tells us in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. With all the people that we have in this world, there was a mathematician that actually tried to figure out, well, how much time would you have with Jesus? With the amount of people that we have, just think about China and India, just the billions of people, right? You would have less than half a second to speak to Jesus. What do you think you're getting out? Nothing. That's why he sent the Helper. He's like the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit dwells in you. You can't tell me that you don't have the power to overcome addiction. You have the resurrection power residing inside of you. You can. You can't tell me that you can't overcome your anger. You have the resurrection power inside of you. And you can't tell me that you can't overcome your division, whether it's at your job or at your in your marriage or within your family. The resurrection power resides in you. Be Christ-like. Stop acting like the world. It's that agape love that we're supposed to express to each other. Sacrificial love. I'm not expecting anything in return. Do we do that? You have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that resides inside of you. The next resurrection result is you have eternal life. Now, this is the one everybody loves. Oh, I got my ticket to heaven. But you go on living like the devil. In John 10:10, that's probably probably my favorite scripture out of the whole Bible, is it's such a parallel of who the devil is. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And what does Jesus say? I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do I want somebody who's going to steal, kill, and destroy my marriage, my family? Or do I want to have life and life more abundantly? I want that. And see, that's why we see the world that we're in today, even as those things are being put out today, and you've seen it with Transgender Day and all that stuff that happened. It's the devil is on borrowed time, and I've shared the scripture with y'all many times. In Revelation 12:12, it says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. His time is short, and so he's sending the world into chaos. How quickly that has happened in the last 4 years. Do you not think that his time is coming to an end? That Jesus is returning? That's why we see the increase of sin and death and disease and wars. We see people that are clinging to money and relationships and wealth and power, but they have an emptiness in their lives. Now, I don't care how many titles you seek and how much money you think you, there's not enough money in the world that will make you happy. You can't fill that hole with that. There's a hole in that heart that you can't fill but with Jesus. And we'll stuff it with relationships. Oh, this man will make me so happy. No, he won't. He's going to fail you. His feet are made of clay. He stinks. He's a dog. But he belongs to God. He's made in the image of God. You can't put him up on a pedestal to look at him as an idol. And neither can you do that with your wife. Relationships won't save you. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you focused on those things. My world revolves around her. That's how I was before me and my wife became believers. Whatever my wife was in a place of idolatry. She came first. What is it? Happy wife, happy life? No. No. God first. Then you'll have a joyful wife. Don't let the world enter into all that stuff. But we'll worship other things. We'll worship titles. We'll think, well, if I just get this title at this job, it's going to make me happy. It won't. The devil's trying to get you because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's got you chasing after all those different things. You have eternity. Focused on Christ. Christ says that you're a new creation and you're his pomia. And it talks about that in Ephesians. And it's like you're his workmanship. Like he is molding you and using you, and he has prepared you for good works. He's going to use you to be the godly husband, to be the godly father, to be the godly mother and godly wife, to serve within the church and also to serve the community, to be a light in this dark place that we're in right now. Stand for Jesus. You have eternity. We also have the resurrection. The result of the resurrection is death has no hold over the followers of Christ. This one you need to wrap your head around. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 58, it says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass, it says that it was written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory over our Lord, victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not made in vain. He's like, hey, look, you need to focus on the eternal. You need to understand that death is not the end of your life. You need to express that to your wife, to your kids, that this is not the last time you will see me. What did Billy Graham say? Don't believe them when they say I'm dead. When the obituary comes out, it'll say Billy Graham is dead. I'll be more alive than I ever was on this earth. And that's the way our life should be. It's not to say that your family won't go through the grieving process, but they need to have it secured in their heart that, hey, Dad was a follower of God. Mom was a follower of God. I'll see them again. We need to get that. We don't talk about that enough. Oh, well, you know, there's persecution. They may come. Let's go. If this is it, this ain't it for me. And that should be our focus. Like, if we have that as our mentality going out as followers of Christ, death has no sting on us. Why are we so afraid to share the gospel? Why are we so afraid to go and tell people, to invite them to church? We need to have a mindset that's eternal. We need to understand that death isn't our last breath, that you'll be born into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, but about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. You know, I think one of the saddest things is I have a grandmother and a grandfather who never went to church and never talked about God. As far as what the Bible says, they're in hell right now. They never went to church. My grandfather spent his Sundays with the Pabst Blue Ribbon drinking all day. He was an alcoholic. They never even attended funerals. Now, not unless there was some confession on his deathbed or grandma on her deathbed, I don't know where they're at. So there's a sense of urgency for me to ask whether or not you know Jesus Christ, because I don't want you to go to hell. We have to have that understanding, like, for those who don't have Jesus, hell is their place, their eternal resting place. And the resurrection results also is that as followers of Christ, you have a calling and a command. He tells you to go and tell in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are to go and tell. Miss Waller was talking about this on Good Friday. I went and read and found the story that she was talking about.
There is a revival that is happening within party schools throughout the universities. I don't know how many of y'all have seen it. Auburn University have had massive baptisms. Florida State University have had massive baptisms. There are revivals that have happened at Texas A&M and throughout universities throughout the United States. Somebody is going and telling them. The thing that Jesus gives us as a result of the resurrection, this is a command. He didn't ask you. Go. He's telling you. It's a command. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to pray when I close up the day, I'm praying that God puts somebody in your place this week that you can share the gospel with. Because you need to start exercising the command. Simple application. Tell somebody about Jesus. Invite them to church. They may tell you, man, I don't go to church no more. I don't want nothing to do with it. Well, I just wanted to invite you. I appreciate you listening to me. You go and tell. He is risen. You should be excited about that. It shouldn't be just Easter that you get excited about it. And the last thing about the resurrection, result of the resurrection, is you're simply ready to stand before God. Meaning that if you belong to Him, you're ready to stand before God. If you're His child. In Acts 17, verses 30 through 31, it says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed, and this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead." And then Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And so those are the two questions you have to ask yourself as we get ready for communion. Is who do you say that I am? And do you believe this? Because you may look at this and you go, man, that's a little, come on. Do I believe this? Do you believe the scriptures? They're God-breathed. Over 300 messianic prophecies that have been fulfilled. Still, the next one's going to be Jesus' return. Ooh, that's going to be. Yes, amen. Not only as He is risen, He will return. And so you have to be able to answer those two questions yourself. Mijo, can you get the guys so they can get communion ready? We are going to partake in communion together. And communion is simply for believers. I think one of the things my son sent me yesterday, I loved it, was Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. He was just getting started. And your life, if you've chosen to follow Him, He's just getting started in your life. Just getting started. And so communion is for believers, meaning that you are a follower of Christ, that you have repented of your sins, and you've turned and asked Christ into your heart. Now, what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to have you bow your heads. Everyone's with eyes closed. I don't know everybody here. Kirk, y'all can go ahead and come on up and start get somebody else to help you. But it tells us very simply, in order for us to have Christ as the Lord of our heart, we must do four things. We must admit you're a sinner, ask for forgiveness and be willing to turn away from your sins, and believe that Christ died for you on the cross, and receive Christ into your heart and your life. Just wait right there. And so if there's anybody here who has not chosen, or maybe you've strayed away from the Lord and you want to receive Christ, just raise your hand and I'll have you say a prayer with me. Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. Is there anyone else? There's usually, when we got two, there's usually a couple more. It's okay. That tugging that happens on your heart, that's Christ. Trust me, there were many Sundays I sat in church and I was like, no, man, not me. Then God brought me to my knees and I needed Him. Is there anybody else? Okay, just go ahead and say this prayer after me. Those who raised your hand. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe in my heart you died for my sins. and rose from the dead. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and be my Lord and Savior. Be the Lord of my heart and my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Yes, y'all can clap for that. That's always a celebration. Yes. Amen.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.